You are listening to the Experience Points Podcast for the week of December 21st, 2016. And it is time once again, ladies and gentlemen, for the annual Gamies.
Here they are.
We do need a theme song.
Yeah, steal some of this.
The Gamies.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Experience Points Podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
And I'm George Albor.
And we welcome you to the second annual Gamey Awards.
It is one of my favorite award shows that we've ever created.
What a season, what a season. What,
this has been a year.
What a year.
We are doing our Game of the Year podcast pretty soon, but first, the more prestigious award.
The most prestigious award.
I think
award.
It's the most prestigious awards that we are distributing tonight of all nights. It's like a gala.
It's a gala.
It's a big event.
The stars are out. Sonic has his cummerbund on.
Tails can't figure out how to get in because he doesn't have tickets.
Tails is not on the list.
We will be going through our gamies. This is our nod to some of the more strange elements of games, I would say. We've got a big list. I think we should get into it.
Yeah. We'll start slow.
Yeah.
And then we'll get deep down into the rabbit hole.
Let's
do a softball one first. The prettiest game.
The prettiest game award.
The prettiest game.
Okay, so for the prettiest game on our list, we have Uncharted 4. It's a very pretty game.
Yeah.
We have The Last Guardian.
The Last Guardian.
And we have Firewatch.
Firewatch.
Yeah. Which of these three is the prettiest game? Gaming is at its prettiest, I think.
There's never been a better time.
There's never been a prettier. There's never been a prettier year. Now, things that didn't make the list. Thumper didn't make the list.
Yeah.
Some of the more like crazy eye-gouging ones.
Yeah.
When I think of the prettiest game, I think of like, would this be a National Geographic centerpiece?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, going with the National Geographic theme, all of these have a lot of nature in them.
It's true.
Firewatch, basically, you're in a forest the whole time. Last Guardian, a wildlife documentary. And Uncharted 4, that's like planet Earth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly right.
Yeah.
I think The Last Guardian cannot be on the list. I think it
cannot be on the list.
No, it's too gray and dusty.
I'm willing to let that one go. I think Trico by himself might be one of the prettiest things. But maybe the game.
Trico is a very pretty creature. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I'm fine scratching that one off. I'm gonna put it out there and say Uncharted 4.
I think
Uncharted 4.
And you
is
know
the
why?
Game.
Also,
Sully's mustache.
Sully's mustache. I completely forgot. They have settings that let you tweak.
Yes.
Like every aspect and play it like that.
I was gonna mention that exact thing.
Because then you don't even need like if National Geographic isn't your form of prettiness and you want like a black and white noir scene, boom, done.
And also, you have the screenshot mode. So if you don't even care about shooting guys, you can just go into the screenshot mode and like take.
Mid-explosion, too, with, like, fire coming out.
And you can, like, crop out the enemies and stuff. Like, it's just kind of like...
Oh, you're right, you can.
Yeah, it's a pretty... It is a pretty game.
It is a very pretty game. All right, then. The winner for the prettiest game award goes to Uncharted 4.
Drake, you old fox.
Congratulations.
All right. Award number two. The first annual. Is This Frog Fractions 2 award.
Correct. We... still don't have Frog Fractions. Well, we might have Frog Fractions too.
We don't. I mean, according to the official rules, the jig is not up yet.
The jig is not up.
Yeah.
And this is about the time where I think there's greater than a 50% odds
that
Frog Fractions has already touched the world in some way.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's not changing. It is out there in some way.
And we're in ground zero for where Frog Fractions 2 is being made.
That's
so
right.
I, like, no joke, when I'm like walking around Berkeley, I
look at
things.
You're looking for signs for Frog Fractions? Like,
yeah.
There's a subreddit dedicated. It's called Is This Frog Fractions 2?
Yeah.
So the nominees are Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes.
Uh-huh.
This is the bomb defusal game.
Yeah.
No Man's Sky. Super Hot.
Uh-huh.
And Steven's sausage roll.
So out of all of these, I am most regretful that I did not play Steven Sausage Roll.
Yeah, I played a very brief amount of Steven Sausage Roll.
But there were so many people talking about this game as like a masterpiece.
Fuck, dude, maybe we should... Here's the thing. It legitimately could be Frog Questions 2, for all I know.
Because I haven't played it. Could be in there.
I feel like the jig would be up, though, if it were.
Yeah,
that's true. Here's why I like this category so much and why I selected some of these games. I think the game that causes you to think, is this Frog Fractions 2, mm-hmm. is the game that has some, like, hidden mystery to mm-hmm. it, right? And No Man's Sky was, why would anybody buy this game? For Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes, like, who knows what happens when you defuse the final bomb? Has anyone even done that? I don't know.
I don't know. I haven't. Therefore, no one has.
Therefore, no one has. And Super Hot, because it's just like a crazy, wacky, weird thing.
Yeah. And remember that we found those like floating fish in the sky.
That's right.
Box?
There's like weird hidden computer terminals.
Yeah.
And stuff.
There's like weird writing in that stuff. I mean, one could say though that because No Man's Sky is effectively infinite, Frog Fractions 2 could be in there.
That's a very good point. And I would say Super Hot and Steven Sausage Rolls are too good. Like they're just too good independently to also be Frog Fractions 2. Because I feel like.
Yeah.
When I finally play Frog Fractions 2, I think those first 10 minutes are going to suck, right? That's the point. They want to lull you into a safe sense. The first 10 minutes of No Man's Sky definitely sucked.
Is that our winner then?
I think No Man's Sky is Frog Fractions 2.
Is this Frog Fractions 2?
Because here's the thing. If it is Frog Fractions 2, I wipe clean everything I've ever said about No Man's Sky.
All right. Congratulations to No Man's Sky, winner of the Is This Frog Fractions 2 Award.
Congratulations.
For 2016.
All right.
Whew.
The next award goes to the dankest meme.
Yeah. Get out your shovels. We're going to start digging in some internet
stuff.
Now,
this has been a tough one because there are some dank memes this year.
Yeah.
But not many have made their way into the world of gaming.
Yeah.
Or at least that we think are particularly dank.
Yeah. Yeah. This is... We had to search for the choicest.
The absolute best memes.
Yeah.
If you will.
All right. I'll read them off. Nominees for Dankest Meme 2016. Harambe Everything.
Yes.
Just everything about Harambe.
Yep.
Hanjo.
I Hanjo.
The misspelled but then embraced pseudonym of Hanzo from Overwatch.
Mm-hmm.
Wasted from the various GTA online videos where someone would fall down the steps or whatever, then you'd plaster the
wasted,
GTA
wasted. Like in real life.
Yeah.
Like people would fall down and then wasted would be on it.
And then finally, don't talk to me or my son ever again.
All of these are so good. I really like the wasted one quite a bit.
It's very funny.
And it's one of the best ways of integrating like games and the absurdity of games into like real life shitty moments.
Yeah. I mean, I think about that, like, you know, you, like, drop something on the ground or, like, you stumble, like, down the steps or something. Like, that's exactly,
wasted. Yeah. The problem is, and I love Hanjo. Yeah. Like, that's been a meme of mine. Mm-hmm. I love Don't Talk to Me or My Son Ever Again.
Yeah.
But I feel like the real competitors here are Wasted and Harambe.
I think
because
so.
Because Harambe is absolutely everywhere.
Like, oh, yeah.
When we were looking at the Titanfall 2 groups. God. Remember?
So many
Even in
Harambes,
the beta, so many Harambe lives. Mm-hmm. Harambe never forget. Mm-hmm. Obama did Harambe. All kinds of Harambe stuff.
Yep.
I feel like... Oh, and on top of that, Harambe as Winston in Overwatch as well just completely dominates the Hanjo Overwatch meme.
I mean, like, there's so many times where you are playing Overwatch and someone will just start the Harambe chant and then it's all Winston's.
It's just,
yeah.
And the other thing I'm shocked about as well is the longevity of Harambe.
Yes.
Because this is a meme that doesn't... It feels like it hasn't even died yet.
Yeah. And it was, like, a year-long thing. Like, it happened, like...
February?
I forget
March.
When it happened, but, like, it definitely happened for, like, more than 6 months
I mean,
year.
I know that... Harambe feels fresh to me emotionally.
Because
you know?
I'll never forget.
Yeah. That's always right there. Harambe is always lurking beneath the surface. Here's the thing. Here's the other thing I would argue. And this is not a comfortable thing to say.
Uh-oh, here we go.
I think you could take a footage from Harambe
mm-hmm.
and plaster the wasted meme on top of it.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Shit.
Because Harambe can straddle that line.
That's
he
true.
He was that good of a gorilla.
Yeah.
You know?
Fuck. I mean, with that, I can't give it to anyone else. But
it's gotta
Harambe.
Be Harambe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Harambe, dankest meme of 2016 in video games.
The first posthumous award, post-apis award we've ever distributed.
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, we have talked about No Man's Sky already.
That's so. Ooh. Ooh.
All right. Yeah. Congratulations to Harambe for Dankest Meme. Okay. Here, this is where we got to sharpen the knives.
Yes.
This may very well be the trickiest award of the year.
I genuinely, this and the gamey itself, I think, yes, are the two hardest categories.
Yeah. So let's get started here. The best waifu / husbandu material, mm-hmm, of 2016.
So this is the award that goes to the one that we, like, it's like the who would you marry kind of thing, yeah, yes, right? Like, you're, mm-hmm, looking at the quality of a true waifu, mm-hmm, husbandu.
Yeah.
And the nominees are BT, whew, from Titanfall 2.
Yeah.
Delilah from Firewatch. The sweet, sweet Firekeeper from Dark Souls 3. Elena Fisher, Taken, but that's okay.
That's right.
From Uncharted 4. Fine. Ethan from Call of Duty. Two robots. Actually, two and a half robots, yeah, on this list. Mercy, yep, from Overwatch.
Yeah.
And D.Va from Overwatch.
So I included Mercy and D.Va because I couldn't... I feel like there's a similar amount of obsession, but I feel like perhaps Mercy has more obsession because of the witch outfit in the, yes, Halloween
the witch
Overwatch
outfit. Yeah. Blew up the internet,
yeah,
with eroticism.
Yeah, I mean,
with Overwatch eroticism.
I'm gonna say Overwatch blew up the internet.
That's true.
With
that's
eroticism.
Right. I mean, there were numerous, like, articles like on Kotaku.
Yeah,
and stuff,
like it
and
hit,
like,
the mainstream.
Check out all
of
these
Slash,
like, hot Overwatch porn.
Yeah, yeah, but I still think D.Va is in there because I have read things and seen things because she is a quote unquote gamer, and so that makes, yeah, her more attractive,
say,
for waifu material.
She is an approachable, yeah, waifu because she eats Doritos and, yeah, chugs Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
I think that Elena Fisher is pretty good.
I think she's great.
She stands by her man.
Yep. She's also, like, not only that, she's like, she's smarter, more capable.
She's way better than...
Better employed.
Yes.
Basically, she is the solid one in that relationship.
Absolutely.
And Drake is just this bumbling fool.
Yeah, totally. 100%.
Yeah.
I think the Firekeeper is a good one. I think, yeah, any Firekeeper is a good one,
yeah,
right? Like,
yeah,
the doll... Did the doll win our last year's waifu award? Who won last year's waifu award? I can't believe I forget.
Yeah.
Especially because I tattooed their likeness.
No, I thought it was Asher Forrester.
Oh, you're right. It is Asher.
Yeah, yeah. I think he won Husbandu Award.
So this is who we have to compare them to,
yeah,
right? Like, and Asher, like, was willing to die for the cause.
Yeah.
Delilah from Firewatch.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good. We never actually see her.
No?
You know what? Why I like her as a waifu?
Mm-hmm.
Because she knows when she's not... She's so strong that she can say, you know what? I'm not appropriate for you right now. You got to,
yeah,
go find yourself.
Yeah. She was willing to walk
business
away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then BT.
God, BT, come on.
Reliable.
Yeah.
Sexy.
but also, never betrays, doesn't change who he is.
Do you think that the problem, though, is he's programmed? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's sort of programmed to care for you.
Yeah, that could be true. Maybe
but that's okay, though.
A technical
that's okay
disqualification.
I mean, is that okay? What is love?
Maybe that's
what is love, but pre-programmed, pre-programmed affection?
You could level that same critique at the Firekeeper.
That's true. That's a very good point.
Because she's there just
here's
to make sure.
Here's the thing about the Firekeeper, though, right?
Uh-huh.
When you give... Minor spoilers for Dark Souls. When you give... Actually, that's significant spoilers for Dark Souls. When you give her the eyes...
Oh, yeah.
And she sees a terrible world...
Yeah.
And she's still willing to go through with it.
Mm.
She is there for you in the darkness.
That's
to
true
the point where, yeah, you could stab her in the back.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
A true villain.
Yeah. Mm. Man.
Mercy, that Halloween outfit.
That
oh shit!
But also just how she rolls. Mercy's ultimate is not about her. You can die
that's
while casting the
point
ultimate and still res people.
Not only that, too. I have been,
yeah,
seen moments where, like, Mercies have fallen, like, off cliffs.
Yeah.
And people will go like, "No, I must save my waifu."
Yeah.
Go to the edge of the cliff
so
just
so
Mercy,
yeah,
can fly back.
Mm. Mm.
Man. This is really tough.
This is a tough
one.
I
really genuinely have a hard time with this. I think Ethan is out of the mix.
I think Ethan is out.
I
think
D.Va tries to be funnier.
I think D.Va's out because I think Mercy's stronger than D.Va.
Yes, I think so too.
Okay.
I think Elena's got to be out. I think she's just a little bit too...
I might
little
not
bit
be ready
normal,
for that.
Though. You know what I mean?
But that's what... I mean, maybe that's what you want.
You think? Yeah.
But I mean, think about...
Here's the thing,
think
though
about
she
Delilah
let,
or...
She let Nathan Drake... Like, mess around.
Yeah.
She went all the way to fucking wherever the hell to yell at him instead of just like giving him a phone call and being like, hey, I know the truth.
No. They talked on the phone multiple times. Don't you remember? True. Where yeah, Drake was like, oh, we're just in Florida. And then she had to fly out to find him.
She's wizened. She's sharp is the thing. That's, Elena is sharp.
Yeah. Delilah?
I think she's out. Okay. We just don't know her enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can we even trust that that is her, you know?
I think the Firekeeper and Mercy have similar things where it's just like there is a there's like a confidence that even in the face of like mass destruction,
yeah,
they stand by what they need to be doing. You know?
That's a very good point. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's what you want. Whew. Let's see.
Man, is Mercy, is she going to be loyal to you, though? You know?
Mm.
Like, what if someone else needs the heals? You know what I mean? What if someone else needs the loving? What if Farrah's around? You know what I mean?
That's true. Because there's that whole, like, Mercy, Farrah.
Can
like...
we waifu Mercy? Mm. Or is she forever taken by the sort of Farrah-Mercy combo? Because I've been ignored by Mercies as well.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I've been like, hey, I need healing.
I mean, BT never ignores you, so if you want to do it that way, then...
That's true. He never ignores you. Well, but he does send you off to very dangerous scenarios.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what the thing,
though? The Firekeeper does,
too,
though.
But here's the thing. BT doesn't get my jokes. You know what I mean? You need someone who will laugh at your jokes. That's like one of those things. I mean, look, I love BT.
Well, the Firekeeper, though... I don't even know if she understands humor.
If I emote, she'll emote. And she will laugh. Well... I know the doll laughs in Bloodborne. I don't know if the Firekeeper laughs in Dark Souls 3.
Yeah.
To be fair, there's not a whole lot to laugh at.
So, continuing spoilers for Dark Souls 3.
Yes.
The Firekeeper was willing to end existence with me. I snuffed out the flame at the end.
Complete faith in you.
Yeah.
In the belief that, like, you know what? Maybe in the darkness, you will find what?
Maybe we should do Firekeeper.
I think the Firekeeper. I feel like the Firekeeper's got to be...
Waifu of 2016?
I mean, here's the thing. I can have a side piece in Mercy, all right?
I don't think Mercy will be your side chick, because she will just switch off to her guns
That's
and
a
start
very good
shooting
point.
You.
Touche, touche. Look, this wasn't an easy call. I think it's got to be the Firekeeper.
Anyone would be lucky.
Any other year.
Yeah.
Any other year. Mercy.
All right. 2016. Waifu/Husbandu of the year.
The Firekeeper.
Firekeeper from Dark Souls 3.
Superb.
God, that was a tough...
Well fought.
That was a tough category.
Well fought. All right.
And there will be echoes of this category
on. I agree. Yeah. Okay, so the next category we have here in the game is the I really shouldn't buy that, but I want it award. So these are the things... You added this to the list, right?
I did.
So these are things that we desperately want, and we may or may not have spent real world money on them.
Yeah, yeah.
And the nominees are...
The nominees are loot boxes from Overwatch...
Right now we are in the midst of the winter holiday, so this I want it, but I really shouldn't buy that, but
it's
I want
close
it
to
is,
home.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Loot boxes from Overwatch. VR, just
virtual
period.
Virtual reality.
Thumper.
Yes.
Interesting call.
I added that one. Yep.
NES Retro Classic.
Oh my goodness.
All right.
These are all good ones.
These are all good ones.
I think I know the winner. I think I know it.
Okay,
but let's go the list of the things the reason I put Thumper on here.
Yeah.
This is a game that is like brutally difficult. I bought it.
It's also a quasi-rhythm game.
It is.
Yeah.
It's not the type of game that I think I would like.
Yeah.
But I think I heard someone say, this is like Dark Souls meets Guitar Hero.
And
I was
like,
I'm fucking
done.
In.
Yeah.
Done. I bought it. Probably should not have bought it. Like, realistically, how much time did I put into Thumper?
Yeah.
Great game. Awesome game.
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't have bought that. Maybe that's something that I should have thought it out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Virtual reality. Neither of us have spent money on that yet.
No. I mean, I would like, if someone just dropped...
If someone just gave me money
into my house, I'd be like, okay, I'll mess with this. But
right.
like, maybe I shouldn't buy it, maybe.
This is also like the PSVR came out.
Yeah, PSVR came out. Neither of us have purchased that.
Yeah. I did buy a PS4 Pro, though. So, like, it would be optimized for it.
NES Retro Classic, that's something where, to me, it's $60. There's 30 games in that thing.
Yeah. Quite
like,
a few games.
That's pretty good. Also, like, it's like a self-contained thing. But
are
then again,
gonna play it though.
That's the thing. How often are you gonna play it? Also, the control cords are comically small.
Oh my god! What, like 4 inches or
something
like that? That's fucking absurd.
Also, it sets a weird precedent because then Nintendo and other companies will be emboldened to be like, all
fucking
right,
Sega, Genesis.
Yeah, exactly.
Classic.
Yeah.
Fuck, now I want a Sega Genesis classic.
And then loot boxes. That's just straight up gambling.
And this is why, for me, the correct answer has to be the loot boxes.
Yeah.
Because I have spent actual money on loot boxes.
Oh, that's here's a dark road.
Here's why it's so...
Just on loot boxes.
Why I shouldn't buy this, but I want it, right? Mm-hmm. Because what you really want are those skins, right?
Yeah.
But because of the randomness of Overwatch loot boxes,
yep.
you're required to like potentially get it. You're always playing. You're gambling regardless. If you play Overwatch, you're always gambling, right? Here's here's the real reason, though. The seasonal events.
Yes.
Because the seasonal events have items you can only buy during that brief window. Yep.
Also, don't you have to buy them and open them during the event,
exactly,
or they revert back?
You cannot even... Well, I don't know about that. Is that true?
So, during the Halloween one, I saw some weird people being pretty pissed that like the loot boxes they had banked up were no longer
Halloween loot boxes. Yeah, because you saved it up. Oh my God, that would be devastating. Open your loot box right away. What are you thinking,
I don't know.
But, importantly, you cannot buy loot boxes ahead of time hoping that they suddenly become seasonal loot boxes.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
There's no way to like... There's no way to connive your way sneakily to get what you want.
There's there's an artificial scarcity both in item percentage and in time frame.
Because, and that ticking time bomb is what really does it. Because here's the thing. Right now, I'm telling myself I should not buy loot boxes. Yep. And I'm not for the winter holiday.
Yeah.
But if I don't get that fucking Winston skin by December 29th,
there will be hell to pay.
Like, I'm going
to
end up spending real world money
in
a desperate attempt to get enough currency to just buy the Winston skin.
That's the most insidious thing.
Insidious?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Will it convince me to buy it? Probably.
Okay, I'm convinced. That is the I really shouldn't buy that, but I want it award of 2016. Fucking loot boxes.
Fucking loot boxes. I mean, it's kind of mind-boggling how much free stuff Blizzard gives away in Overwatch.
Yeah.
Like, all the new maps, all the new characters, the holiday events themselves with the new modes, and, like, they've decked out all of the maps. I didn't even think they were going to do all of the maps.
Yeah.
They have to monetize. This is how they do it.
Yep. All right. Quote-unquote, congratulations, loot boxes. And speaking of sarcastic awards, here is the next one. It is the biggest gear grinder of 2016.
Yes.
What really grinds your gears about
video
games? Things
that we just really did not enjoy.
I really like the nominees for these.
The nominees are Hanjo from Overwatch. That grinds my gears.
Yeah.
All of the Warcraft movie. false advertising. And late night television game segments.
This is a good one too. Okay. Hanjo, for sure.
For sure.
Every time I see fucking Hanjo in Overwatch, especially on offense.
And here's the thing. Like, I hate Hanzos on my team because they're universally bad.
Yep.
And on the enemy team because for some reason they're universally good.
Yep.
Like, the scattershot is such a bullshit.
Everything. And it's like, oh, that thing flew 3 feet away from my head? Headshot.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Fucking annoying. The Warcraft movie, we talked about this year. It was terrible.
Real bad.
And probably poisoned the well for...
But successful when you look at international numbers.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, why that's especially terrifying, right?
Yeah.
This is the idea that we could get the resurgence of video game movies that are...
Because of this.
Like, woefully bad, right?
Yeah.
Horribly bad, but still successful enough to potentially warrant a second one.
Ugh. False advertising. Okay, tell me about this. I know we have No Man's Sky.
We have No Man's Sky.
What other?
Well, so the reason I put this here is actually more partially because of the No Man's Sky debacle, but also partially because of the general ruling. I don't know if you read the ruling at all, but there was a ruling.
Oh,
there
was the UK.
Yeah, the UK
fairness in advertising
exactly
thing or whatever.
And the logic behind it was essentially them saying, well, good enough, looks good enough, like, I would buy it, right?
Yeah.
It's such people who never play games,
yeah.
who, I mean, again, whatever, I don't really care that much about No Man's Sky,
yep.
but the ruling was one that I got the sense that the people who decide what is fair and false advertising know so little about games and what gamers can expect from, like, gameplay, quote-unquote gameplay footage and stuff like that, that... There's just it's a no man's land.
Yeah, it's a no man's sky.
It's a
no man's land
of potentially false advertising.
That is pretty annoying. All right, late night TV game segments.
Yes,
it was like Jimmy Fallon,
Conan O'Brien, all of those late night folks that do like video game segments. Conan does the Clueless Gamer stuff, which I feel like goes too far oftentimes across the border into making fun of games and gamers than it does celebrating it.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, it's gone on for so long
that
it's now kind of morphed into
and it's else. Like they make fun of stuff like, you know, he'll have on there the Final Fantasy game and they'll make fun of Final Fantasy. And it's like, you know, there are people who actually care about this stuff and I get it. Like, oh, you're clueless. I guess that's partly the point. Or like Jimmy Fallon, right? Like, did you see the Switch when he went, like, Reggie was on there?
Yeah. And
like, God, that was so awkward.
But it's also, like, I place so much of the blame for that on at Nintendo's feet of, like, this is, like...
But the thing is, like, those late-night television gets a lot of eyes, and people watch clips of it the following day, right? Like, Jimmy Fallon playing the Nintendo Switch went up all over video game editorial sites.
Yeah.
But does it actually do anything for games?
Yeah.
Is that interesting in the slightest?
I mean, I think there's a reason why Nintendo did it. Like, they have a perception problem. Their last console was perceived by other people as the same as their previous console.
Yes.
You know, like the Wii U and the Wii, for most of the people, they thought the Wii U was a peripheral.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they have, like, this massive PR campaign to wage.
Right.
So I understand that.
Well, I can see why.
Yeah.
I'm just not quite sure that late night television hosts have understood. Yeah. Have understood, like, why they should be paying attention to this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, how many actually have designers up there talking about game design? I think No Man's Sky like Sean Murray went to a couple.
And look at what that got them. Maybe that's a good one because it sets a wrong perception across the board.
I think it really does.
Yeah, even if it's a design thing, because it's like you're never gonna get like a 1 hour like sit down with Jonathan Blow. You're gonna get 5 minutes of like.
But you will have like musicians go up there, sing a song, come on, talk about their inspiration, all the kind of stuff. What if it was like, hey, here's some cool gameplay.
Yeah.
People who genuinely like it, and how's the designer talking about it? What inspires it, and all that kind of stuff. I don't know.
Tell me.
I feel like the Warcraft movie probably wins this category for me personally.
Yeah. But I mean, like, is that any different? Like, does it really annoy you? If we're talking about something that really grinds your gears, we're talking about something that is repetitive, that happens, you know, like,
true.
Like, you saw the Warcraft movie one time, and that was a terrible waste of your life.
It's gotta be late night gaming segments then. Because here's the thing.
Hanjo, though?
I literally saw Hanjo today. But the late night game segments thing, though, people will come to me because they know I like games. And go, hey, buddy, hey, did you see Clueless Gamer last night? And I'm like, I don't think that's funny.
There's nothing funny there. That's a really compelling argument because my mom won't come up to me and be like, Hanjo, am I right?
Your mom won't. My mom will.
So I mean, if we're gonna talk about impact,
then it has to be late night TV game segments.
I think that's the clincher because it's about the breadth of the audience that sees it and the fallout that creates for us.
Exactly.
All right. Biggest gear grinder of 2016.
Jimmy Fallon. I mean, late night we're coming TV for you, game Fallon. Segments.
Yeah, late night TV game segments. All right. Another quote, congrats.
Another quote, congratulations. Our next category
I
got a bad feeling about this award.
This is the Han Solo, I got a bad feeling about this.
Yes.
Oh, man. Okay, this is a new one, but I think it's a short one, but I think it's an important one.
Yes.
The I've Got a Bad Feeling About This Award nominees are the Nintendo Switch.
Yes.
VR. And incremental console generations, a.k.a. PlayStation 4 Pro, Xbox Scorpio.
What are you so scared about with incremental console generations?
We are already seeing marked difference in performance and also just confusion between PS4 Pro and PS4.
I mean, there's definitely confusion.
It's like, okay, what settings do you want? 1080p 30, 1080p 60, 4K 30. Do you want it HDR 4K? But you can't have that if you have the 30.
I mean, and like, I have a PS4. It's not just that, right? Like, I don't even know, is it on? How do I know if it's on or not?
Yep.
Like, I can't, is there a button where I could like turn HDR off and then HDR on again?
Am I a pro?
Yeah, have I pro'd yet?
Yeah.
Have I gotten good? What is the deal?
It then starts to venture into the consumer electronics sphere of like, if you buy these incremental console generations, you need other gear to make proper use of it, which is something that the layperson has no time for.
Yes. What I would argue, though, is that life will find a way, you know? Because there are PC gamers out there. Like, people will figure it out. People who really care will figure it out. But people who don't care just won't notice.
But why would a PC gamer buy a console?
Well, they wouldn't. That's my point. But
that's the other thing. That's like, I got a bad feeling about this because now the only reason to buy a console is now kneecapped. Because now I have to worry about system specs on my consoles. Like, well, what?
There's only two so far.
So far.
Yes, that's a real fear. I think the Nintendo Switch I feel kind of optimistic about.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have that bad of a feeling about it.
Battery life, though.
That's true.
Touchscreen, maybe.
Video quality.
Just games in general.
That's true. But I have a Wii U, and I bought like 6 games the whole cycle.
Fuck. Also, worth well it, worth it. Yeah.
Worth it. VR.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I do have a bad feeling about this. And I feel like I have a bad feeling because it could go either way.
Mm-hmm.
VR could be amazing.
Yep.
Right?
This was supposed to be the year, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. So here's the thing.
And it didn't happen.
VR could be bad.
Yeah.
Right? And some VR is very much bad.
Yeah.
But the other thing I have a bad feeling about this is maybe it's not bad, but maybe it's not good enough to keep the money flowing in.
Maybe it's just niche and it will die a slow death.
That's even worse. Like, because what if VR is actually really cool and there's some really great VR stuff, but more and more, like, people won't be able to continue to justify spending money on that market if people don't buy it. I mean, fuck, we are early adopters and we have not bought any VR stuff yet.
I also worry about VR, and actually there's been some late in the year improvements to this, but it's still something that worries me, which is the exclusive platforms for VR. Like, stuff that's in the Vive store doesn't necessarily work with an Oculus, and stuff that's on PS4 is in its own little garden. And like, there's like, VR as a technology is stumbling because of platforms.
See, now to that end, I would say VR has to win in this category over incremental console generations because it's fundamentally tied to incremental console generations.
Oh, that's also true. Incremental console generations is like partially an outcropping
right.
of VR.
So like PSVR, right?
Yeah.
Technically, it's compatible for both console generations. Yeah. If you buy it on the older PS4 model and you don't really like how it's performs,
then
all of a sudden you're like, bucks. I'm down for VR's dumb. I'm not going to support it. Sell it to fucking...
Also, there was that whole thing about Palmer Luckey, like, outing himself as actually a douchebag.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, that
because
sucks.
No one could tell from khaki shorts and a Hawaiian t-shirt. Come on.
I mean, there's also the one of the things that VR has going for it that not all video games do is it's, like, so Silicon Valley-ish, like... It's weird. Oh, we're going to disrupt this, blah, blah, blah. Also, I'm a Trump supporter.
Exactly.
Like, you know,
we're gonna imagine new futures.
Yeah, there's that side of it, too. I don't know. I've talked myself into VR. I think
it's VR.
Think?
Yeah, okay. I think it's VR.
All right, the 2016, I've got a bad feeling about this.
Virtual reality
Woo! In general. Ugh, yikes. All right, let's get positive for 1 second.
Yes,
here.
Please.
2016 Best Buddy Award.
The best buddies out there.
Was last year's D-Dog?
Ooh, I think it was D-Dog.
Okay, because if it wasn't D-Dog, we should have made
D-Dog
it D-Dog.
Yeah, I mean, it should be D-Dog.
Yeah.
So this is the version that we're comparing it to.
Yeah.
So in this category, some familiar faces from Waifu Husbandu, because there's a close relationship, right?
Right.
You want to waifu your best buddy. Although our waifu winner isn't on this list, but that's okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. That separates
fine.
Them.
Yeah.
The nominees are BT from Titanfall 2, Ethan from Call of Duty Infinite Warfare, Trico from The Last Guardian, Delilah from Firewatch, and the entire cast of Final Fantasy 15.
The bros.
The bros of Final Fantasy 15. Now, I think Ethan actually has a shot in this one.
Yeah.
Because he's funnier than BT.
He is.
And when I'm hanging out with my buds, I want to laugh. You know?
Yeah. He hugs you in space.
He does.
It's like a bro hug in
he
space.
He sacrifices himself.
But you're also controlling him.
That's true. He does ask you to do some uncomfortable things.
Now, BT truly sacrifices himself.
That's a very
Because remember
good
at the end when he's falling into the explosion, he throws you out of him?
But does he know that his AI will survive at all? Or I guess not.
Not really. I mean, I don't know. There's
That's
definitely
true.
Some sacrifice going on.
I think that if I had to choose between hanging out with Ethan
and
hanging out with BT, I'd have to choose hanging out with BT.
Mm-hmm.
One other thing, though, for the robot dilemma, and this might This might axe both of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, or rather, just BT. It's kind of hard to hang out with your bud when your bud is like two stories tall.
You can hang out. You're not hanging out with your bud. You're hanging out in your
bud. Hanging out inside your buddy. Oh, man. Whew. I don't have enough buddies in my life.
I mean, you could jump on his shoulders. He can give you a piggyback.
That's
ride.
True. Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, he could take you places. That's pretty nice. He'd give you a lift. I mean, that's for sure. He gives you lifts. That's great.
He throws you.
Yeah. That's fuck. You can play baseball.
Bro throw.
And you play the ball. But Trico is the same, right? Trico and BT.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to like hang out, right? Like, if you're hanging out with BT, if you're playing catch with BT or Trico, one of them could accidentally kill your neighbor. You know, you don't want to be involved in that.
Yeah, Trico defends you from those suits of armor that come to chase you.
It's true.
Those are scary.
But Trico also, he's susceptible to like infiltration.
That's true.
You know,
true.
There's certain scenes where like Trico will flip his shit on you.
Yeah.
We don't want a buddy that like. Trico's like a bad drunk buddy, you know? Like
a little too many barrels,
you know? I don't know what's in those barrels. Blue moths or some shit. Starts freaking out.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Trico you want to party with.
I mean, Trico is the closest we have to D-Dog.
Yeah.
You know?
But because D-Dog was
animal.
But D-Dog was loyal down to the last hair on his furry little body.
And his cute furry little face.
D-Dog would Fulton motherfuckers for you.
That's true. Yeah. Oh, so legit.
Yeah. Okay. Delilah, she basically saves you from dying a few times.
And she saves your physical self and your spiritual self. You know what I mean?
True.
She really encourages you to open up emotionally.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's pretty good.
She's good. And she's funny. Like, she challenges.
She's not a very good fire watcher.
That's
because
true.
The fire does did, end up engulfing all of the forest.
That's true. That's
Minor spoilers for Firewatch.
Yeah.
Fire happens.
Okay. I don't know. I haven't played all of Final Fantasy 15.
Yes, likewise.
But I have watched a fair amount of the bros broing it out.
Yeah.
And they seem like they're good bros.
They are the broiest bros we may have seen in video games in the past like decade.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are like, you've got the smart one, you've got the funny one, you've got the one that's like huge brawn dude, right? They're always hanging out trying to get ramen and stuff.
They're like going on road trips, bro trips.
I mean, is there a more classic friendship depicted in video games this year?
Yeah.
I mean, BT's an unconventional friendship, Ethan's unconventional, Trico for sure.
Yeah.
Delilah, like, potentially romantic. You know, you don't want to like mess things up there.
Yeah.
The bros of Final Fantasy.
They're buddies.
They don't make out in the game, do they? I haven't gotten to that part.
Well, they're going to patch the game to add more story.
That's true. That's a very good point.
So they
that
could.
That sweet slash fic of like all of them just making out in the backseat.
But I mean, there's when you talk about buddies, they're exponentially more buddies in Final Fantasy 15 because there's four.
That's true.
Four or five? How many?
Yeah. I think there are four of them. I mean, are
they support each other in battle?
They do.
That was one of the things why D-Dog was such a good buddy.
That's true. Yeah, they do support you in battle.
Hmm.
And there are, you know.
Well, so does BT.
I'm sure there's some conflict, but, you know, when isn't there conflict with a bud?
That's true.
With a bud.
Bud. I say we can rule out Trico.
I think we can rule Trico out.
Yeah. And Delilah.
And Delilah. I agree. Ethan, I think we could probably roll out.
Yeah. There's just not.
Did you? He's not that likable, dude.
Going back to our Call of Duty podcast, I didn't say this during the podcast, but did you ever get the sense that Ethan was just kind of lying the whole time? Like, he seemed disingenuous.
No, man. Yeah. No. Cooper, I got this. Yeah, we're fine.
But didn't it seem kind of like he was like a little bit too oorah about everything?
That's true. Yeah. He was constantly chipper.
Yeah.
In the face of extreme violence.
Yeah.
And you know what? Look, if you are an AI, I expect to have a little bit more like analytical mind.
Yeah.
Like, there were some real bad plans.
That's
real
true.
Bad.
Yeah. And
did
he
Ethan
didn't say
ever
anything.
Go, oh, we're fucked.
Yeah.
BT will straight up be like, we have 15% chance of survival on this one, Cooper.
Yeah. And he was, it felt like more of a partnership.
I mean, I have to say for sure, from my personal experience, I have the closest relationship to BT.
Yeah, definitely. Because, I mean, because it was mutual. He saved you sometimes, you saved him
sometimes.
That's true.
That's like, true. You know the other thing about buddiness, mm-hmm. right? Sometimes you're not hanging out with your bud.
That's true.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
And then you see your bud, and you just want to run up to him. And
you want to jump into their chassis.
And then just get inside of your buddy. And I think that feeling of wanting to be inside your best bud is just so well captured.
Wanting to be linked neurologically.
That's true. Here's the thing. We have actual scientific proof that the connection between Cooper and BT is incredibly high.
Yes. BT was able to quantify the buddiness.
Is it that? See? No.
Yeah.
I'm convinced. Okay. It has to be BT.
Best buddy.
Congratulations, 2016. BT.
Congrats. All right.
Well deserved. Hi, folks. I interrupt this regularly scheduled podcast to let you know that due to one unfortunate audio problem, we have to postpone the discussion of our last category, the gamiest game of 2016. But never fear, we will be back next week with the excited conclusion to the gamies. You can also look forward to our Game of the Year podcast coming up, and of course, a look ahead at the games of 2017. Again, I'm so sorry for the cliffhanger. We really can't wait to bring you more of this year's best and worst games conversation. But until next time, we hope you have a happy holidays, and we will talk to you soon.